This was the first week of the 119th Congress, and it's given us a preview of just how bad things are going to be under the Christian nationalist government led by Mike Johnson and Donald Trump. Yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a violent piece of legislation, H.R. 23. H.R. 23 is an attack upon the International Criminal Court. The International Criminal Court is a body that even-handedly confronts war criminals, prosecuting people who commit violent atrocities during wartime. And when I say that it's even-handed, you could take a look at the recent actions of the International Criminal Court when on the very same day it indicted multiple leaders of Hamas and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, recognizing that war crimes are being committed on both sides of the war between Gaza and Israel, not letting either side off the hook. That kind of impartial, even-handedness in its prosecution of war crimes is what makes the International Criminal Court so abhorrent to Christian nationalism. And this attitude goes back all the way to the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The attitude in the Christian Bible toward war is that war is a terrible thing when your enemies engage in war, but not when you do it. The hypocrisy at the heart of Christianity's attitudes toward war and war crimes is shown in the moral condemnation of the city of Sodom for being engaged in what the ancient Israelites regarded as unconventional sexual practices. But then there being no protest at all when the Israelites attacked Jericho, slaughtering every man, woman, and child, and honestly, every animal within the city walls. What we would regard today as a terrible war crime. We see this in the New Testament as well. You can't just say that the Old Testament was awful and judgmental and that the New Testament stands for peace. Once again, in the New Testament, violence is to be deplored when your enemies do it, but not when you do it. So, on the one hand, you have Jesus saying that we ought to turn the other cheek. But then you have also in the Gospels, Jesus telling his followers when they're about to go confront some Romans to bring your swords, cast away your cloaks, get some weapons to bring to this struggle instead. And in the book of Revelation, it is foretold that Jesus is going to come down and engage in a global, bloody war in which he will crush and burn his political opponents in order to gain power as a king, not of peace, not being a prince of peace, but being a warlord in the name of God, beginning a brutal regime which engages in eternal acts of torture against the political prisoners of God. We see throughout the Bible the attitude that war crimes are to be deplored, but only when your enemies engage in them. And that attitude is just what Christian nationalists in the United States Congress brought when they passed H.R. 23. H.R. 23 acts to defund the International Criminal Court. And it then imposes sanctions against any individuals or organizations who act in any way to support the work of the International Criminal Court. If H.R. 23 is fully passed into law, and it looks like it is going to be because it has the support of Donald Trump, then there will be no international body to stand against war criminals, to stop human rights abuses in wartime, to hold the people who commit atrocities during war accountable. There was a voice of reason in Congress yesterday. Democratic U.S. Representative Jim McGovern spoke at length against H.R. 23. Here is what he had to say.
Mr. Speaker, of all the ways that Republicans have shown this country how messed up and backwards their priorities are, I have to say that this bill that we're debating today to sanction the International Criminal Court, the ICC, this really takes the cake. All I can say, Mr. Speaker, is that this is not what America voted for. This Republican majority is not what people asked for in the last election. Maybe that's why Republicans lost multiple seats, because they keep bringing up lousy bills like this one. Nonetheless, let's talk about the matter at hand. Mr. Speaker, on October 7th, the October 7th terror attacks, Mr. Speaker, were unconscionable and unacceptable. The victims on that dark day were overwhelmingly civilians, 62 of whom are still being held illegally as hostages in unknown circumstances. And I would hope that every single member of this chamber would demand their immediate and unconditional release. It was an attack, I think, that rises to the level of war crimes and crimes against humanity. That is the reason that the International Criminal Court applied for arrest warrants against three Hamas leaders in May of 2024. Now, no one seemed to criticize the ICC for that decision. And I especially call it out because if we stand for freedom and human rights, then we need to stand for freedom and human rights all the time, not just when it's convenient. That's why the nations of the world set up the International Criminal Court in the first place. This is an institution designed to make sure the horrors that we saw all too often in the 20th century do not repeat themselves in the 21st century. We have international humanitarian law to prevent this kind and this scale of destruction. And just because someone doesn't like the law doesn't mean they get to break the law. As a court of last resort, the ICC can only become involved when and where a country has demonstrated unwillingness or inability to hold people to account for crimes within the ICC's jurisdiction. Friendship means we tell the truth. It means we hold ourselves and our allies to the same high standards. But actually, on our side, we actually welcome debate, and we welcome ways to improve the legislation. I'm told that there were negotiations going on to try to actually improve this legislation, and then the Speaker made a unilateral decision to go with the most extreme version. And this was not marked up in committee, and there were no amendments to this. It didn't come to the Rules Committee, so nobody can offer an amendment. Nobody can make a suggestion. Take it or leave it. I mean, that is the way, I guess, the way the Republicans are going to want to run the House. I guess what we're hearing here is that, we want to pick and choose on their side, how we're going to react to the ICC based on what they do. I mean, the bottom line is this bill will do nothing help get the release of our hostages, including those Americans who are held hostage, and it will isolate us within the world community, especially with many of our allies. As we close debate, I want to reiterate my opposition to this misguided legislation. The International Criminal Court exists to hold the world accountable, to prevent atrocities, and to serve as a reminder that no one is above the law. Abandoning the ICC, as H.R. 23 proposes, undermines our values, undermines our alliances, and undermines our credibility on the world stage. This is a moment to reaffirm our commitment to human rights, to international law and to the partnership that partnerships that have defined American leadership. And this bill fails that test. By sanctioning officials of the ICC and anyone who has done business with them, this bill would have a chilling effect on America's work to support human rights and rule of law around the world. It would hamper the ICC's efforts to prosecute serious atrocities that have wrecked lives and destabilized countries in many places around the world, from Ukraine to Uganda to Darfur. NGOs would be chilled from sharing evidence of the grave crimes committed in these places. Many of us celebrated in March of 2023 when the ICC's judges issued arrest warrants for Vladimir Putin and another senior Russian official for abducting thousands of Ukrainian children. Congress even passed legislation to enable the United States to provide financial support to and share information with the ICC to investigate and prosecute Putin and his regime for their heinous crimes in Ukraine. This bill we are considering today would undermine that work and rob it of its legitimacy. If passed, this misguided legislation would bluntly curtail our ability to engage the ICC to advance our interests in supporting justice and accountability, and crucially, to share relevant information with our partners and allies. Speaking of our allies, this bill is so absurdly broad that it would sanction our own allies. This would sanction our own allies. Read the bill. Read the bill. Our allies would be sanctioned for supporting the ICC if this were to pass. The largest funders of the ICC are America's closest allies, the UK, France, Germany, Italy, Japan. As drafted, the leaders of these countries would be sanctioned for providing material assistance to the ICC. That's truly nuts. That doesn't make any sense to me. The legislative bodies of these countries could also be sanctioned for appropriating funds to the ICC. And by some interpretations, interparliamentary travel to Europe could become a sanctionable activity. Did anybody think this through? Is sanctioning the leaders of our closest friends and allies really the best we can do here? Not only that, this sanctions over 900 members from approximately 100 countries at the court, from judges and prosecutors to administrative staff, including nationals of close U.S. allies and partners who collectively work to prosecute war criminals all around the globe. The language in this bill is so broad that even cafeteria workers and janitors, even their families, could be construed as having, quote, supported or materially assisted in these prosecutions by providing services to the ICC. This is nuts. This is nuts. And what would happen next? I can tell you, Mr. Speaker. American companies would be banned from doing business with the ICC if its top officials are sanctioned. And the Chinese and their Chinese competitors would rush in to fill the gap. Not only does this undermine America's interests, it bolsters Russia and it helps China. Mr. Speaker, this is a bad bill. Not only is it a bad bill, but nobody had any opportunity at all to amend it.
If H.R. 23 is passed into law by the Senate and signed by Donald Trump, war crimes like those committed by the Nazis during World War II will go unanswered. And you've got to ask yourself, why would the Christian nationalists in the U.S. Congress and in the White House desire protection of war criminals, impunity for wartime atrocities? And then you have to look at who is being nominated by Donald Trump to lead the U.S. Department of Defense, the Pentagon. Pete Hegseth is that nominee. And he has called for an end to the Geneva Conventions. He has called for an end to international laws that prevent militaries from attacking their enemies and using chemical weapons, biological weapons, nuclear weapons, slaughtering civilian populations. The military leadership nominated by Donald Trump has proposed that these kinds of terrible wartime atrocities should become perfectly legal again. Is it any wonder that the Christian nationalists in Congress are now supporting legislation, passing legislation in the U.S. House of Representatives yesterday to block action to hold war criminals accountable. H.R. 23, the name of this legislation should be the War Criminal Protection Act, because that's really what it does. It protects war criminals. It's time, I urge anyone listening to this, it's time for us who remain willing to stand up to fascism and to Christian nationalism, its violence, its embrace of bloody war crimes. It's time for us to take action before it is too late. We have just about 10 days before Donald Trump becomes president, and already the law that protects us from military abuses, from acts of rampant tyranny, those laws are being taken apart right now. The worst thing of all is that 45 right-wing Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives took action to support Donald Trump, to support his dismantling of international laws against war crimes. It's pretty plain what that suggests about what the Christian nationalists, what Donald Trump intends to do with his power. We still have the ability to speak out against this, and I urge you to stand up. Now is not the time to sit and rest and lick your wounds. Now is the time to be politically active, speaking out against the new fascism before it is too late. Oh, no. No.